Welcome to podtech.net. We're here at the Foresight Nanotech Institute for a podcast with Scott Mize, the president of the Foresight Nanotech Institute. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
So nanotechnology is really the future, and nanotechnology has been talked about really in academic circles, research circles. Now it's coming into mainstream with computers, computer technology. Things are getting smaller. Technology is rapidly progressing. I mean, I did a podcast with Ray Kurzweil. He talked about, you know, the impact on medicine, the impact on fuel, clean air, and all this stuff. You guys are a group that basically is a think tank that works with the industry, research, and across the board to try to kind of bring this all together and collaborate and drive this forward. So talk about nanotechnology, what's happening with nanotechnology, and what you guys are doing. You guys are doing some great work. So talk about that.
Well, I guess I'll start with what our mission is. Our mission is to ensure the beneficial implementation of nanotechnology. And Foresight is about 20 years old. And it was originally founded by the people who came up with the original concept for nanotechnology. And the idea was very much of a technology that was many decades in the future. And what we decided to do when I came on board was sort of update the mission of Foresight and add to this long-term technology focus a short-term and medium-term applications focus. And the other thing that we decided to do was to focus on doing projects that really help to push forward the edge of the envelope in terms of nanotechnology development today. And so that is the basis on which we're operating right now. To tell you about the whole field of nanotechnology, one of the big challenges with nanotechnology is that it's a very huge field. And it's, in fact, not one technology, but a whole range of enabling technologies. And the commonly accepted definition for nanotech, and about the only thing any of these nanotechnologies have in common, is that they have to do with structuring matter on size scales below 100 nanometers, so essentially at the molecular scale, and also that nanostructuring brings forth some novel property, some unique property that can be used in an application. And those are really the only two things that bound nanotechnology. And so you find that there are technologies that are being developed that impact energy, that impact water, that impact health and medicine, that impact information technology, agriculture, and aerospace, and many other application areas. The other thing that makes it difficult to get the arms around is that in the media, there's been a big confusion between what's reality in the short term and what's reality in the potential long term. So every story nearly starts with some notion about nanobots floating around the bloodstream and fixing DNA damage and things of that variety. And that's something that's a long-term vision that is potentially something that could be developed in some number of decades. But it's very different from the types of products that come out today. But also one of the things that people are often not aware of is that you can go out and buy scores of products today that incorporate nanotechnology. And this is everything from stain-resistant pants to a variety of sporting goods, a lot of cosmetics and medical creams, things that are dressings for burns, medical dressings for burns, certain types of high-tech mattresses, ski wear, and a whole variety of primarily consumer products. And so these involve nanostructured materials, very often nanoparticles or carbon nanotubes as part of the material that makes up the product. And so, you know, this is one of the things that makes it hard to get your arms around, you know, what exactly is nanotechnology because the field is so broad.
So it's not like you can put it in a box and say, you know, this is a computer circuit board, you know, what silicon did with, you know, the chipset, for example. But what you're saying is that really it's about kind of how computers first impacted things. There's broad implications across the board. But isn't nanotechnology about getting smaller? Isn't that really the issue, small stuff?
Yeah, well, it's even broader because when you think about the computing revolution and particularly personal computing and what's evolved into these consumer devices like the iPod, really it was based upon a really small number of innovations, essentially the core of it being the integrated circuit. And once we discovered how to make integrated circuits, then you could make all sorts of different types of integrated circuits and make them more and more powerful over time, and that gave rise to a lot of different applications. But it was very much a field that was defined its own boundaries, sort of. You know, it made a system that had the ability to manipulate information in an effective way, and those things just got more and more powerful. When you look at nanotechnology is going to impact computing, but it's also going to impact biotechnology. It's also going to impact basic materials. It's going to impact energy. And so it had the range of impact that it's going to have is far broader than any other previous technological revolution, because it's not in one silo or not in one application area, but it really is impacting almost everything.
So you guys have a big conference coming up in October here. It's your 13th conference.
Yes.
Obviously, you've done a lot of work over the years, and you talk about midterm goals and mm-hmm. initiatives, and then long-term wacky things that scenarios could happen. Mm-hmm. But talk about what's going to happen at the conference and some of the things that are being talked about today and some of the cutting-edge and practical nanotech mm-hmm. stuff.
Well, the conference is split up into three different sections. One is called Vision Weekend, which is a members-only, off-the-record gathering. And this is where we do talk about things that aren't going to come about for decades. And that's the ones where people sort of can go crazy with their ideas. The second piece is Applications and Policy. And that's very much about what's happening today in terms of creating products and what needs to be done in terms of the regulatory issues and the societal issues around nanotechnology. And so within that realm, we're very much structuring the conference around what we call the 6 Foresight Nanotech Challenges, which people can go to our website at foresight.org, foresight.org. And they can see what the 6 challenges are. I won't reel them off here unless you're interested.
But clean solutions, clean water globally, longevity of life, productivity of agriculture, technology everywhere, and enabling development of space, right? Those are the main
right.
ones.
Right. And if you want to bring all those down, each of those down to one word, they address the areas of energy, water, health, agriculture, information technology, and aerospace. So, there are specific challenges in each one of those domains. But our applications and policy days, which are Monday and Tuesday, the 24th and 25th, are oriented around those particular challenges. And so, the types of things we're going to be talking about are what can be done in terms of solving the energy issues that we have. And a lot of that has to do with combating global warming and basically going beyond fossil fuels. So the types of technologies we'd be addressing are things like new types of photovoltaic cells, new types of fuel cells, technology that enables the hydrogen economy, the ability to generate and store hydrogen more effectively, and even things like creating appliances that are more energy that conserve energy and operate more efficiently as a result of the use of nanotechnology. So that would be all in the energy realm. In the water realm, we've got a panel that has to do with a lot of different water filtration technologies. A lot of people don't know that 80% of the infectious diseases in the third world are waterborne. So if you were just able to deliver clean water to everyone in some cost-effective way, you'd have 80% of the infectious disease problem around the world solved. And so there's a lot of work going on in that area. And it goes on down the list through those other four domains. And in the area, for instance, I'll just pull out one more of health. One of the big things that's being researched right now, where a lot of money is going, is in new forms of drug delivery that can, in a very targeted way, go in and, for instance, kill cancer cells using the selectivity that you can get from a nanoparticle, let's say, that's functionalized in a certain way in order to identify and then go in and kill a cancer cell.
Give an example of that in particular and how that contrasts with today.
Well, today, people are probably pretty familiar that drugs as they exist today are pretty blunt instruments. And in fact, if you take any particular drug, there's going to be a certain amount of people for whom it doesn't work or for whom there's bad side effects. When you think about chemotherapy, again, it's a fairly blunt instrument. You essentially poison the entire system in order to root out these cancer cells. But in this way, using nanotechnology for drug delivery and nanoparticles for drug delivery, you would be able to target specifically the cancerous cells and then allow the
through an injection or oral.
You could take it orally, you could inject it, but the key thing is it would have the ability to go in and identify which cells are misbehaving, and attach to those, and then deliver some lethal dose of something that would kill them. Sometimes it has to do with delivering a radiation that is picked up by the nanomaterial. Sometimes it just has to do with something toxic that can be injected inside the cell, but it kills it in a very targeted fashion without affecting the healthy cells around it.
And that comes from the research involved in nanotechnology as well as some of the actual technology, right?
Absolutely. And there was a study done recently about how many drugs were in the FDA approval process that were based on nanotechnology one way or another, and there were over 100. And so there's a lot of R&D going on in this area, but it's fairly early stage. In the health area, though, one application that you might see emerging more quickly is in the area of rapid point-of-care diagnostics. So the idea that we might be able to take a sample of your blood and at the bedside, you know, stick it inside a device that has nano sensors in it that can very, very quickly analyze the blood and say, you've got these diseases, and give you that result immediately right there on the spot.
Yeah, no lab tests. Sending to the lab.
Exactly. Rapid point-of-care diagnostics. And so that's something that it looks like it might be an early application that will come to fruition. And a lot of that's driven by the fact that what these things are essentially are tiny sensors. And that's also an application, sensors, that is very important in Homeland Security. You know, being able to sense particular biological agents or chemical agents. And so there's a lot of R&D going into that space, and the medical field is benefiting from some of that R&D.
So this is to the average person and to technology listeners out there. I mean, nanotechnology, people get the impression that, you know, it's just this weird thing. It's just like the future. It's not here. But mm-hmm. what you're saying, it absolutely is here. What are some other short-term things that are going on that are really important? And then predict 5 years out what's going to happen in your mind. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of discussions around that, but where do you see it going?
Well, you know, just to give you some more information about, you know, what's here and now, there are over 1,200 companies worldwide that are participating in some type of nanotech R&D. And if you add up the amount of expenditures that are being made by governments and corporations around the world, it's about $9 billion a year. So it's starting to get to be a significant number. And, I mentioned several products that are out there today that you can go buy. In 5 years, I think you're going to just be seeing more and more capable systems. I mean, the amount of applications is pretty broad, but it might not be 5 years because of FDA regulation, but I think you're going to start to see some very, very targeted and very, very powerful drug delivery using nanotechnology. More and more, you're going to see nanomaterials used in the automobile transportation field. If you look at the Dreamliner that Boeing is putting together, a big part of the effort that's going into that plane is making it very modular so that it can be upgraded over time. And one of the main reasons they wanted to do that is so that they can put in new components that are based upon nanomaterials that have better performance characteristics. Another thing we're doing a roadmap on, one of our projects is called the Technology Roadmap for Productive Nanosystems, is the idea of having nanosystems. So these are things that are structured on the nanoscale that actually synthesize other nanostructured materials. And in order to be able to create these nanomaterials in a very tunable, programmable fashion, we're going to need to have these nanosystems that we can manipulate and control in a very precise way to make specific nanomaterials and specific variations on these nanomaterials. And so that's something that will be coming, you know, in a 5 to 10 year period of time. When you look down any of these areas in terms of information technology, one of the big areas that we think will be impacted soon are displays. And you're already seeing display technology that are based on carbon nanotubes, for instance. But one very exciting area that's going to take a little bit longer, but still I think might not be in your 5 year period, but maybe in a 5 to 10 year period, are new types of memory. There's all sorts of work going on in terms of using carbon nanotubes for new types of memory devices. also new types of magnetic memory based on nano domains in the magnetic material, and technologies that use cantilevers to record information on surfaces. So this is essentially borrowing a technology from what's called the atomic force microscope, which is a way that we sort of feel and see at the nanoscale, but actually using this as an information recording and retrieval device. And so you're seeing this explosion of very new types of technologies all applied to creating more and more powerful memories. And that's another area where we think there will be, in a 5 to 10 year period, a lot of advancements.
Well, that's amazing stuff. And, you know, we'll talk about another segment, this technology roadmap for productive nanosystems. I mean, that's an amazing amount of work involved in physics and engineering and, you know, worth a whole 15 minutes. But great stuff. The Forsyth Institute is a group think tank that's pulling together industry leaders, corporations, research. Scott, can you give the blog address? Cause I know you guys have a really popular blog in this community that listeners can go to learn about it and people can share. So what would be the address of that?
Yeah, well, what I would say is just go to our basic website, foresight.org, and then one of the main menu choices is blog. And so you can jump into our blog directly from there. You can also at that website sign up for our email list if you want to get a weekly news digest about what's going on in the nanotech space. And also I encourage everyone to come to our conference, which is three conferences in one. And it goes from October 22nd to October 27th of 2005, and would be a great way for people to very quickly get up the learning curve in terms of what's going on in nanotechnology.
That's great stuff. We'll be there podcasting the conference, and also we'll be putting up a channel for you guys on PodTech Network for Forsyth Institute. So that's great stuff. Can't wait to go to the conference. Scott, thanks for the podcast.
Thank you.